Well, good morning. It's great to see everybody here today. If you have a Bible, you might like to take that out. There's no message notes this morning, but if you want to jot down some things either in your Bible in the verses we look at or on a separate notebook, that might be helpful as we begin a new year. Just like that, two decades ago was 1999, and as we are coming into 2019, we have new opportunities, new challenges, and at every step of the way, we must rely on God's grace to give us the strength to see things through. I wanted to present this lesson last week, but I was still fighting my illness. I assure all of you that I shook hands with and hugged that I think I'm germ-free. I've been washing my hands, and so I don't think I'm sharing anything with you. But I tell you what, after going through that sickness, Wednesday night, after I finished class, I was shot. And then this morning, I went through class, and I started to feel it already. So I have assurance from my loving brothers Ken and John that if I start to collapse, they'll come up here and drag me off and take me to the back. But I hope to be able to make it through and be as clear as I can. It's still just a little tickle in my throat, but we'll see if we can present some things that will be helpful to us as we begin this new year. All right. A man in Kansas City was severely injured in an explosion. The victim's face was badly disfigured, and he lost his eyesight as well as both hands. He was just a new Christian, and one of his greatest disappointments was that he could no longer read the Bible. Then he heard about a lady in England who read Braille with her lips. Hoping to do the same, he sent for some books of the Bible in Braille. Much to his dismay, however, he discovered that the nerve endings in his lips had been destroyed by the explosion. One day, as he brought one of the Braille pages to his lips, his tongue happened to touch a few of the raised characters, and he could feel them. Like a flash, he thought, "I can read the Bible using my tongue." When this story was recorded in 1969, the man had read through the entire Bible four times with his tongue. We make a lot of excuses for not reading the Bible. But none of us have had to deal with this kind of a catastrophe. And yet it was his desire to know his God, to know Christ, that led him to take the extra step to read through the Bible. This lesson is intended to be motivational, but also practical, in reading the Bible in 2019. Our elders challenged us to read the New Testament in 2018, and I hope that everyone had at least the opportunity to do that. But they've extended it that we can either read through the New Testament if that's all we can do, but also to read through the entire Bible if possible. And that is definitely a possibility in a year. If you read 7 days a week, you can do it in 3 chapters a day. If you do it in 5 days a week, you can do it in 4 to 5 chapters a day. That's an attainable goal. That takes an extra 20 to 30 minutes of our time each day. Maybe we have to spread it out throughout the day. Maybe we have to set aside certain times, but we can. But before we get to the how, I'd like us to think about the why. Why should we read the Bible? Well, the first thing I want us to note together as we try to answer this question is that we should want to read the Bible because it is the Word of God. It tells us who God is, and it guides us to Him. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 10 through 13, we read that all the great promises that God has in store for us have been revealed by the Spirit, and that by the Spirit we know the mind of God. Those things that are hidden that we cannot know on our own, God has revealed them through the Spirit, given them to the apostles, and they spoke them to us. And if we approach it with a heart of faith, we can understand what God has revealed to us. It doesn't mean it's always easy, but we can understand what God has revealed to us. In fact, the Apostle Paul even says of the Scriptures in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 that all Scripture is inspired by God. That means breathed out by God, comes from His very mouth. Inspired by God and thus profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. And so God wants us to be complete, and He understands that this is done through His Word. His Word is powerful. His Word is available. And when we read the sacred writings, the Scriptures, the Bible, we can come to know the mind of God and what he wants us to be doing in this life. Psalm 119, verse 105. The entire psalm is about the word of God, but this is one that's familiar to us. We sing it. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. In Hebrews chapter 5, it says of the scriptures that they should have known the elementary teachings, but because they were dull of hearing, they were not listening to God's word anymore, they were becoming lazy in their study, he says they had fallen back. And as one commentator has illustrated it, it's as if they should have their PhD in the scriptures and they needed someone to teach them their ABCs once again. And the reason they needed to continue to learn the scriptures is because by learning the scriptures and practicing them, they would be able to discern between good and evil in this life. And if we want to become more like God, the ultimate good, then we're going to have to get into the scriptures in order to know the difference between good and evil and so to practice it. This fits into our year-long theme in that we are trying to develop a relationship with God here in this first quarter. One of the best ways we can develop a relationship with God is by listening to God. The only way we can truly hear the word of God is by getting into his word that's been recorded for us, the Bible. This is why it's important that we spend some time with the scriptures every day, if possible, so that we can come to know who God is and what he intends for us. Another reason that we should want to read the Bible is because God tells us to. And everything God tells us is for our good. He has this in mind. He knows what the word is. He knows what it can do for us. And so he says, read. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 13, though probably said in a context of collective worship and Timothy's role as a preacher of reading the scripture to the congregation. But there is just the general principle, and it says, give attention, be devoted to reading. We need to give attention to the word of God. Now, we are in a privileged place, better than anyone in history, because in 1 Timothy chapter 4, the only way some of them were going to have interaction with the word of God was to get to a place where the word of God was being read, because they couldn't have personal copies. They couldn't pick it up every day. The only thing they could, especially the poor, the only thing they could do is to scrawl out some passages, maybe on leftover pottery or a fragment of papyrus if they happen to be able to purchase that. They didn't have what we have. And yet if he told them to give attention to reading and to exhortation and to doctrine, so we too in this privileged place must be given to reading. This is the way that we can, according to Colossians 3 verse 16, be filled with the word of Christ. Now, that's not just saying that we intellectually have memorized the scriptures, but it means that we have gotten them into our heart. Someone has said that the problem with Bible study is that we often don't let it make that 18-inch journey from head to heart. And this is what Colossians 3 and verse 16 is trying to tell us. Let's be filled. But notice that it says be filled. That's an imperative. That's a command. Be filled with the word of Christ. We have to get the word of God into us because he expects us to. He commands us to. And he even commands us to do so with accurate interpretive methods. He says that we need to be a workman, not to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. He applies that same concept of being diligent, giving attention. And so when it comes to Bible study, this is what God wants us to do. Now, I will make a slight distinction between Bible reading and Bible study, and I think both are necessary. Bible study is where we're going to slow down and really kind of chew the cud of God's word. But Bible reading is something we need to be doing as well. And we need to read it with a heart of faith that accurately handles it so that then we can begin to see the difference between right and wrong and model ourselves after Christ. And then one more reason why we should be reading the Bible is because there is joy in reading and studying the scriptures, though it is only possible when we approach the endeavor with faith, hope, and love. Now, that latter section is going to be our transition into the how, and that's going to be how we begin this. But just notice at the beginning, there's joy in reading the Bible. Now, some have compared it to that there are candy, there's candy in the scriptures and there's broccoli in the scripture, and both are enjoyable once you come to understand the benefit. And so we need to recognize that sometimes there's going to be things that we don't as much enjoy reading. For instance, the latter part of Exodus or Leviticus. Some people have said, there was a satire article that said, man makes realistic resolution to read through the Bible up until he gets to Genesis. Or excuse me, up until he gets to Leviticus. Because we get to these parts of the law and we don't really see what the benefit is. But once we realize that might be a little bit of broccoli, but even though it doesn't taste as good, it benefits and it helps. And so what I want to suggest is that when we begin to approach the scriptures with, this is the word of God, I believe it, I love God who is revealing himself to me in it, I can find joy in every passage of scripture that I read because I know that it's going to do something good for me. Look with me, please, in Psalm 1 and verse number 2. Psalm 1 and verse number 2. And remember that whenever the psalmist is writing this, he's talking about those books that we said might not be as enjoyable sometimes. The law, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. He says, in contrast to the one who would walk in the does not walk in the counsel or stand in the path of sinners or sit in the seat of scoffers, he says, but his delight is the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. Notice that there is delight in meditating on the word of God, that we find joy in getting his word into us. And God knows that we need joy. We need a joy that surpasses understanding, is inexpressible. We need that joy that's going to keep us through those difficult times. He says, that's what the law can do for us. That's what the word of God can do for us. It can keep us through those difficulties. In fact, he even says a little bit later in the psalm that we become like a tree planted by the waters that will not be moved. Look with me at just a selection of passages talking about the joy of reading in Psalm 119. Psalm 119 and verse number 16. Psalm 119, verse 16. I shall delight in your statutes. I shall not forget your word. Drop down to verse 18. Open my eyes that I may behold wonderful things from your law. And verse number 47. I shall delight in your commandments, which I love. When we love God's word, there's going to be joy that comes from the word of God. So when we understand where the Bible comes from, when we understand that God's will is that we read it, and when we understand the joy that can come from it, that's going to motivate us to read God's word. Now, I will admit that as we're starting out in our Christian walk, or maybe as we are growing, there might be some points in the year where we almost make it a checklist. I need to read today so that I don't lose the habit. But that should not be what it is all the time. And so I want to suggest that as we make a plan for this year, let's approach it if I want to love God's word. I may have difficult days where I don't really feel like reading, but I want to love it. I want to learn from it. And so I'm going to be praying that God will help me to maintain my commitment and that I'll do it every single day. Just as a side note, if you're thinking, I've tried this before, I've always given up on this kind of a resolution, it's been said that if you will do something for 4 weeks, it is much easier to commit to it for the rest of your time. Any habit, you commit to it for 4 weeks, and you will probably stick with it. And so let's commit for this month. We're going to read, and then we commit to the next month, and then we commit to the next month. And so why? Because this is God's word, and we want to learn from it. Now, the next thing I want us to talk about is some of the practical ways in which we can accomplish this. How should we read this? First, we're going to start from the internal. Then we're going to work through some actual plans and things that will help us to commit to reading. How should we read? First, we need to approach the Bible with the right attitude. Faith, love, reverence. But it also means that we're going to have to be willing to apply and practice what we believe. Someone has said that you only believe the parts of the Bible that you do. And so if you read it and don't do it, you really don't believe it. But if we believe this is God's word and that we should be committed to it, we're going to apply these things. James chapter 1, though I think even verse 19 and 20 are really talking about our commitment to the word of God, that we need to be slow to slow to speak, quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. That might be in connection to our response to the Word of God, because he goes on to keep it in the same context of applying God's Word, committing to God's Word and applying it. Whenever we see a pitfall in our life or a problem in our life, we're going to say, I know what God's Word says. I know how I'm living. I'm going to try to match up to the Word of God. And by God's grace, he will help us to accomplish that. So we have to make a commitment. I'm going to read the Bible, but I'm going to obey what I read. Also, people in Bible times gave themselves to reading. They typically voiced or listened to the Bible. You would have a reader and the listeners. That's probably what it's talking about in the book of Revelation, chapter 1, where it says, blessed is he who reads and blessed is he who hears. That's talking about the official reader who would read this in the congregation, and they would hear. And interestingly enough, even privately, they rarely, if ever, would read silently. That is a modern phenomenon. They would always read out loud. And so just as kind of a side note, if you're having trouble paying attention to what you're reading, maybe try getting in a quiet place and reading it out loud. That can be helpful. But they also read various parts of the Bible. They weren't just saying, well, we're just going to read this part. As Christians, we should not say, I'm just going to read the New Testament because there's nothing of benefit in the Old Testament. We need to spend some time trying to learn what God's Word says and reading every part of it that we can. Justin Martyr, who lived from AD 100 to 165, noted the importance of Bible reading in the early church, even though they weren't as privileged as we were, said, and on the day called Sunday, all who live in the cities and all in the country gather together in one place, and the memoirs of the apostles, that's probably talking about the Gospels, and the writings, that's probably talking about the epistles, or excuse me, the writings of the prophets, that's probably talking about the Old Testament, are read as long as time permits. Then, when the reader has ceased, the president verbally instructs and exhorts to the imitation of these good things. So he's saying people from everywhere gathered together because they wanted to hear what the apostles said, what the prophets said, and they were going to give their time to it. We can give our time to the apostles, to the prophets, so that we too can have this same desire and maintain this same commitment. Before we can interpret and apply the scriptures, however, we must commit to a regular plan of reading. We are creatures of habit. We are creatures who need some structure. And if we just say, well, I'll read sometime during the day and I'll read something in the scriptures, it's probably not going to happen. We need to make a plan. I'm going to read this at this time. My family and I, not to set ourselves up as any kind of standard, but we've determined that our nighttime reading with the boys will be our year-long reading, at least our group reading. So maybe you commit to an evening. Maybe evenings aren't good for you. Commit to a morning. I read of one man who said he was so committed to reading the scriptures and he was so prone to failure that he made a decision that he was going to read in the morning and he was not allowed to eat until he had read from the Word of God. And when the hunger pain started to rumble, then he realized, okay, I haven't read yet. If I want to eat, I better start reading. And so he used something to just commit to the plan, but he had a plan. And so we need to do the same. Now, as we continue this idea, the Bible does not, however, specify a single method of reading. It doesn't say you have to read in this order. It doesn't have any kind of liturgy. It doesn't have any kind of specific passages you have to read on these days, as some religions do today. The Bible just says we need to read. And so it leaves it open to us. How are we going to read the scriptures? Well, we are privileged, as noted, that we have printed and electronic copies of the Bible. We even have personal copies. This was impossible in previous generations, and yet God has given us this ability that we can have a Bible in front of us anytime, anywhere, and we can read. And kids, don't let anyone tell you that you cannot read in certain places. There are no laws that say you cannot read at school, and there are no laws that say you cannot read at work. What we need to understand is that we have this privilege, we have this right, we don't have to be obnoxious about it, but we can read the Bible if we really want to, anytime, anywhere. And there are various reading options. And so I want to talk through some of these as we near the close of our study, just so that you have some options for picking a plan that works best for you and works best for your family. And so here are some of the possible options of where you could begin. First, make a decision whether you're going to read the entire Bible or just one of the Testaments. That's an easy decision to make here at the beginning of the year. Am I going to read the Old and New Testament, or just the Old Testament, or just the New Testament? There are advantages to all of those. You read the entire Bible, and you get the full picture. You read just the Old Testament, and you get to slow down and spend a little bit of time thinking through some of those stories and some of those characters. Same thing in the New Testament. You get to slow down and go really slow by just spending a little bit of time with, since it only takes one chapter a day to read through the New Testament, you can spend some time in that, or you can up it. But we can, we must make a decision there. Notice the entire Bible can be read in about three chapters. The New Testament can be read in one chapter a day, 5 days a week. I've personally been involved in reading through the New Testament four times a year, and that's helpful as well. So you just up it, read about four chapters of the New Testament a day, 5 days a week, and you're able to read through the New Testament in 90 days, 90 days, 90 days, 90 days. There are possibilities to read the various parts of the Bible. Now, for those who have email, you've already seen these, hopefully, but I've provided some PDFs if you want copies. There are a lot of plans available. Here is one that I'll get to in just a moment, the Blue Letter Bible. They are a website that provide various options. The five-day Bible reading program that is put together by Mark Roberts, that was emailed out to you as well. That allows you to read Monday through Friday, gives you a couple catch-up days. You read the Old Testament and the New Testament. And then there's also Bible programs like YouVersion, Olive Tree, Bible Hub. There's a lot of options out there, though I'll give some more information on YouVersion because I think they have some better plans out there. But make a plan. Are you going to try to read the entire Bible or just one of the Testaments? That being said, then you have to make a decision if you're going to read the Bible canonically, chronologically, or some other way. Now, before you just shut off there, I list it that way so that you can organize it with the PDF because that's how they label it. A canonical reading just means you read through as it's organized in the English Bible. You start in Genesis, you work your way through to Revelation. And so that is a canonical reading. Canon meaning the standard of scriptures, the organization of scriptures as we have them, the authorized reading. And so this is an option. This allows you about three chapters a day. And it tells you 1 through 365 what passages to read if you just want to go straight through. Then there's also the chronological reading, which takes it in either the order of events or the order of writing. And those are not always the same. This one, I believe, this Blue Letter Bible, the chronological reading, I believe takes you through in the order of events. And so they take things and move them around. So for instance, you read Genesis 1 through 11, and then they think Job fits in historically somewhere around the time of Abraham, and so they stick the book of Job in. Then you go back to Genesis chapter 12. And so you're reading it through as if it's in a timeline going from beginning to end. I think Mark Roberts' plan is a little bit more the idea of the order of the writings. So, for instance, if you think the book of Job was written more toward the time of the exile, you would read it when it was written, even though the events happened way back during the time of Abraham. And so there's different reading plans. It's just showing that there are various options. And then there's other available. For instance, the 5x5x5 challenge that we did, I'm not really sure what their organizational structure is, but you just get to read different parts of the Bible, and it's put together so that you're reading different books at different times. And so there's a lot of options out there. And you can either use a paper copy like this and use your paper Bible, or you can go to electronic sources. Now, before I show, since I know some of you are a little, some of you may be a little anti-electronics, I want to show you just how easy it is to do a plan electronically. But before I get there, I want to suggest that reading from a paper Bible has definite benefits over electronics. I think it's easier to mark in, it's easier to visualize that you now know, even if you don't know the chapter and verse, you know what side of the page and what column on the page that it's on. You get more familiar with your Bible. So there are definite advantages, but for instance, with our kids and our reading plan, since we're doing things in the evening, as we are sitting together in bed, we choose to have low lighting, and thus I use my phone to read to my kids because it's backlit and I can read to them. So there's different options on how you go about reading. If you don't like electronics, you can just shut off the rest of this. If you want to know how to use a certain app, this will show you just how easy it is to set up a reading plan that will give you notifications. So that being said, here are some of the ways that you can download an app that would be used. I tend to use for reading plans, in addition to reading with my kids and my personal reading, if I want to use an electronic source, I tend to use YouVersion. And so that's available through the Play Store or through the App Store, either Apple or through Android. And if you want these slides, if you want to use this kind of a plan, I can provide it to you. Search for YouVersion and select and download Bible. It's free. It will come up and show as an icon on your screen as Bible. This is what it will look like whenever it comes up on your screen. So you can just click that. Now, here's how I'm going to make it even easier if you want to try to use this. I took screenshots of going through the entire process, so I'm going to go through real quick. First, you're going to open it up, and it's going to look something like this. And so I've had this app for a while, so there are it tells you your streaks and such. But you have verse of the day, but notice you have find a reading plan. And so you click down here on plans, and then that allows you, brings you to this screen, which will then allow you to find a plan that you want to use. If you already have plans, that's going to come up here. Then, so you're going to search for a plan, or you can use Help Me Find a Plan. Help Me Find a Plan is going to give you various options that you can use. Sometimes they're just theme studies. If you want to study the Proverbs, or if you want to study joy or sorrow, any of those can be found on this app that someone has put together. I typed in that I want to find a chronological reading plan, and then all of these came up. There's New Testament chronological, just the one-year chronological, one-year chronological Bible. If you're interested in a chronological reading that you don't want to have a separate sheet, you can buy this one-year chronological Bible as a hard copy. Or Eflagard Smith also has a book called The Daily Bible, which goes through chronologically and also gives you notes on what was happening in between certain spots. So there are physical options as well. But I selected that I want to read this chronological reading plan. So I click on that, and then it's going to come up and say, do you want to start the plan? So you click that you want to start the plan, and now it's going to ask you a couple things. Here's one of the interesting things about electronics. You can either say you just want to do it for yourself, or you say that you're willing to share on social media so that other people are seeing the same plan and can participate with you. You'll have to, on the iPhone, you'll have to then give the options of either visible to friends or private. And then it's now going to be saved to your plan. So I have clicked on my plans, and I can click on chronological, because that's the plan I chose. And when I click on chronological, it's going to bring up day number one. So whenever I was setting up the screenshots, it's set up for December 27th. If you start the plan today, it will read January 6th, and it will take you through January 6th of next year. Last year, whenever I was using the electronic version as additional reading plan for going through the Bible in a year, I did just a canonical reading plan that started somewhere of November of 2017, and it was supposed to finish in November of 2018. One of the great things about this is you don't have to do once a day. And so I actually was able to finish that in about 10 or 11 months and start a new plan. So there's a lot of options available. So then you're going to click on Genesis chapter 1, or just click Start Reading at the bottom. When you do that, it'll take you to Genesis chapter 1. You can select your Bible translation. They have every translation you could possibly think of. Some of them require using data. Some of them you can download to your phone. New American Standard, you can't download to your phone unless they've recently changed that. New King James, you can. And so you have it no matter what, whether you have Wi-Fi or signal or not. You can also select your audio options. If you're not much of a visual learner, you can listen to this plan and set it up for whatever speed you want to listen to. So you could set it at the normal reading speed of the narrator, or without making him sound like a chipmunk, you can also increase it to 1.5 or 2x speed and whatever your best learning. I typically read because I think the narrators read really slow at probably about 1.5x speed. And you can also set the size. If you've ever started complaining because the font is a little too small, you can make that as big or as small as you possibly want it to be. All right, then if you want to listen, you just click play, and the narrator is now reading Genesis chapter 1 to you. All right, something I should probably mention, in these readings, you can click a verse and highlight it or share it on Facebook or Twitter. This app allows you to connect all those things. After you've read through, if you're listening to it audio, it'll automatically go to the next day's reading. If you're just reading it by sight, after you finish chapter 1, you go on and click to go on to day number 2. On the options here, I tend to like it with the black background. You can set it to a white background with black font as well. Then you'll have, once you finish, for instance, day 1 is Genesis 1 through 3, so I've read through Genesis 1 through 3, and then I click that I have completed that day, and it goes to a congratulations screen. And you click that you have actually finished it, and then it will show that you've read all that. That day is completed. Then you can go on to day 2, or you can wait till the next day to read day 2. And so it's there's one thing. If you get behind, they just show how many days you've missed, and you go back and start completing the days. Or if you're ahead, it'll show you how many days ahead you are. So it keeps track of your progress. Now, I mention all that just to say that there are a lot of new options that make it easier than ever to read the Bible. Here's one of the great things I like about Bible apps. I like to read my Bible in a paper copy if I'm studying. I like to be able to mark it up. I like to underline. But if I'm driving in the car, I would rather listen to a Bible reading plan than listen to the news or to radio. And even these readings, these MP3s that you download on YouVersion or that you stream from YouVersion, they don't take up any data whatsoever. I mean, it's a couple of megabytes that you're listening to a day. And so you can do that in the car, driving to work, and you could complete a day of reading the Bible. Some people don't learn as well that way. Choose a different time. But just showing that you can do anything in your Bible reading, just make sure it's something you can be committed to, you can be excited about, and then make the commitment. It's well worth it. The only way we can grow as Christians is to spend time in the Word of God. Now, we can grow by applying what we know. We can grow by praying. The only way we can keep on growing is to continue to get into the Word of God and let it fill us up so that we can be all that we need to be.